So it's good to sit together. It's even better to sit together and learn. And it's even better to sit together and talk about Shabbos. Learn about Shabbos. So here's the problem. The Gemara says in Brachos, on Daf Lam Gimel Amud Beis, how the Nachas Kemeder of Chanina, there was a certain Jew who was acting as Shliach Tzibur in front of Rabbi Chanina. Omer Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Vahanora Vahadir Vahazuz Vahayaroi Chazak Vahamitz Vahavade Vahanechbad. And he was going on and on, and he was saying all these praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Hanora Adir Vahazuz. He was saying all these different praises. Himtin Lo Adesayim. And Rabbi Chanina was waiting until this Yid was finished with all of his praises. When he finished, so he said to this Jew, "Simtanu lekule shivchei demarcha." Have you finished all of the praises of your master? Lamali kule hai. What do you need to go on and on and on like this for? Do you really think that because you said 20 different praises of Hashem, you think that you were able to do something that Hakel Agadol Hagibor Vanora is not able to do? Have you truly finished all of the praises of the Master? Anan hani tlas darminon ilav darminu Moshe Rabbeinu baraisa v'asavan shekneser agedola v'takninhu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah called Hashem Hagadol Hagibor Vahanora, and Anshe Knesset HaGedolah established it via prophecy in our tefillah, we would not be able to say it Hashem, even those three. V'at amrit kule hai, v'azalt. You just keep going and saying and more praises of Hashem. Mashal ha-melech basar v'dam shayilu elef alafim dinar yizahav. A parable of a king of flesh and blood who had hundreds of thousands of golden dinero. He had hundreds of thousands of golden dinar, right? Vahil Mekalsin or so, and somebody had the audacity to come in front of the king and to say, wow, the king has so many hundreds of silver coins. Vahalo Ganaihulo, isn't that a disgrace to the king? Here the king has thousands upon thousands of golden coins, and you say he has a couple hundred silver coins. So the Maharal, in the very beginning of his Sefer Gevuras Hashem, which is all about Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Golos and Gula of Mitzrayim, the Maharal has such a varied potpourri of Svarim, dealing with so many different facets of Judaism. So, in the Sefer Gevuras Hashem Perek Aleph, the Maharal opens with a discussion of trying to understand really locally what Pesach is all about, but it's really a broader issue in our avodah. David HaMelech said in Tehillim Kofvav, Mi Amal Gevuras Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tilas. Who is fitting to praise Hashem? Who really could sing Zmiros? Takarash Baruch Hu. Ritzoneinu Lomar Kisipur Shivcho Shal Karash Baruch Hu Yev Shami Shnei Panim. There are two problems when it comes to singing Zmiros on Shabbos and anytime, Takarish Baruch, and that is as follows. Ha'echad mitzad shelo nuchel la'amur ala gvura ba'atzma, kama gadol gvuras ma'isav, v'asheni mitzad shehim rav b'riboy ein tachlis, u'lefikach sipor shivcho yefshar mitzad ha'echos mitzad ha'kamos. The impossibility of praising Takarish Baruch Hu is a twofold drama. On the one hand, it's impossible to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the art of prayer and praise, because we can never accurately describe Hashem's strength. No matter what we try to use as a parable for Hashem's strength in terms of its quality, qualitatively, how great and mighty is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength or wisdom, awesomeness, justice.
Strength is an example.
Example. No matter how much we try, we fall short because of qualitative inabilities. Our power of language is just not enough. Even someone who's graced with a golden pen or a golden tongue would be unable to do justice to the beauty and grandeur and strength, etc., of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the same time, there's a problem with kamus, with quantitatively. The second issue is that no matter how much I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of allotment, in terms of quantity, I'll fall short of the mark. And therefore, in the Gemara in Brachos that we just read, tries to give a mashal of what this is like to try to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mashal is that a person comes and praises the king not only for the wrong amount of coins, but the wrong quality of coins. The king has thousands upon thousands of golden coins that he's praised for having hundreds upon hundreds of silver coins. The shortcoming is both in the realm of quality and the realm of quantity. And so says the Maharal, skipping down now to the last line. And so the Maharal wants to know, how can it be that we have a mitzvah, as I said, locally on the Leil Pesach, but really ever? How can we have a shir on Zmiros Shabbos Biyun or Zmiros anything Biyun, if ultimately all of our Zmiros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu fall short? Doesn't this Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis make this entire shir an ultimately useless, futile endeavor? And this, of course, is the question of the Maharal. So the Maharal has his own answer. But this evening, I'd like to share with you something which will open our hearts and awaken our inner B'nai Hanavim, our inner students of the prophets. Because if Hillel said that if Nevuah doesn't exist anymore, if Am Yisrael are no longer Nevi'im, so then we are B'nai Nevi'im. We are the sons of prophets. We are the students of prophets. And so we will, after I take some questions, because I see there's some questions, we will meet Hashem together as long as we can, as much as we can, until we get to, I guess we'll try to stop 5 minutes before 8 o'clock so we can bench, to try to read some of this beautiful, beautiful mimer from the Rebbe of Piasetzna, one of the three ma'amarim that's printed not in most versions of the Chovos HaTalmidim, but in the hidden versions. There are three hidden ma'amarim by the Piasetzna Rebbe, one of which we will study tonight, another one of which we'll study when we get to Eishes Chayim.
Why are they hidden?
They're just not printed in the standard Chovos HaTalmidim. You have to find it, and they're lofty. So they're hidden with good reason. So we'll read that together, but first it seems like there are some questions. Yeah.
But doesn't it say later on in the Gemara that the guy davens for too short, and he criticizes him for davening too short?
What do you mean too short?
He says he doesn't say enough prayers. Like he said, Moshe has so like Elma Rafan Allah. And that's the Gemara in Lamed Gimel.
The Gemara in Lamed Gimel talks about
davening too long, davening too
short. Moshe Rabbeinu having short praises of Hashem and long praises of Hashem.
So the
but again, those are more long and short tefillos. Kel na refan Allah is not really a praise at all, it's a request.
Yeah, but we see that there is a power of being short also. And maybe it's more
short in one's request. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael when they're standing at the Yam Suf, and he says, you know, Ad Kan, stop davening. So Rav Huttner has a beautiful essay in Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, where he says that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu is just waiting for us to stop davening so that he can bring about the Yeshua. That as long as we're still davening, it's a complicated mimer, obviously, what that means. But sometimes Hashem wants us to stop davening to bring about the Yeshua because Hashem is ultimately trying to bring about the Yeshua. That's why he brings out the difficulty in the first place. It's just an excuse to get us to talk to him a little bit, but then Hashem waits for us to stop davening. And that's why Hashem yells at Moshe and says, Nu Ad Kan, enough davening. That's a more complicated issue. So sometimes Hashem wants us to be short. He doesn't want us to go forever, long-winded tefillos. But in the realm of praise, we never find that lengthy praise is seen as a worthwhile pursuit, at least in light of this Gemara. But we have to see. We'll read this mimer together. Rabbi Yankif.
Rabbi, I just had a rational idea of wouldn't it make more sense to say that news are even more appropriate than Shabbat, because names are beyond words. So if the whole
So negunim proper, negunim proper are beyond words. Negunim proper come from a very high place. It's beyond, it's not, it's the Munkacher passport, it's the Vorker's letter to his dear friend. It's all of the, we'll talk about it when we get to Cheshvan, right? It's the whispers of Cheshvan. But on Shabbos, by and large, Lechadodi, Yeshishchayel, Shalom Aleichem, Menucha V'Simcha, Kol Mekadesh, these are all worded Nigunim. And so we're left with the question of the Maharal, we're left with the problem of the Maharal, which is, how dare we open our mouths to sing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or praises of Shabbos? Aren't we going to fall short? Yeah.
Is that just like, it's that when we're davening, it's not about the Shemit in our praises.
Sure.
Then, and like if we were like, it's like for us to like, get a comprehension of what Hashem is, like a middle school comprehension of like what Hashem is to us.
Sure.
So like,
sure. But at the same time, it's true that, of course, our praising to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei is not trying to, grease up Hashem so that he'll, give us a bigger allowance.
Like all singing, just like, right. To get yourself to the place, right. Not like for Hashem.
Afal Pikin, we see that the Gemara on Lamed Gimel is telling us that you have to be careful with, there's a prescription for that as well. It's not just haphazard. There's a prescription for how we do it. But let's see, because you're all touching on something chashuv, and along the lines of what we're going to learn, but to find it in that expression of the Piyuz Etzner Rebbe is hard to come by, so okay, so let's learn. Says the Rebbe, Yeshnam Zmanim Shakol Kach Mosif Rach B'nei Anavim L'shar Salav Ad Shagam Nitzot Mitiferes Elyon Mofia Alav V'Nishmaso Matzetzes Bezor Yofi HaElyon U'Ba'ara Min HaHadur Na'aziv HaOlam. There are some times when a person is so awakened, Kol kach mosif ruach b'nei anavim l'sharos alav, that the spirit of nevuah is so ready to rest upon him. Ad shegam nitzot mitiferes elyon mofia alav v'nishmaso mitzetzes bezor yofia elyon, to the point that the beauty, the splendor, the exalted nature of his neshama rests upon him min ahadur na'aziv ha'olam, from that makor of the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof shines down, Ziv HaOlam. B'dayto lo yadama atzlo. A person is sitting on Shabbos at the table. It could be the third meal, it could be the first meal, it could be the second meal. It could not be Shabbos even. And a person is overcome, he doesn't even know what he's overcome by. Lo yadama atzlo. What's come over me? He feels a certain emotion, a pounding of his soul from within. His spotless v'oneg, a desire to completely nullify himself in the bliss, in the delight. A certain pleasantness, a sweetness, and a joy that comes from a high place, and pulls him up to that high place. To the point that he literally cannot hold himself back from singing praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He cannot explain it with words of intellect because this is not an intellectual experience. But let's grab onto a small analogy to try in some small way to understand this experience. Hayeled kishemis oreres avaso la'aviv b'yeser se'es v'yef sharlo l'hachil v'kirvo ava rabba kazu rotz elov v'noshko. Like the mashal of a young child whose father comes home after a long day at work.
Are we following him?
And the child b'yeser se'es v'yef sharlo l'hachil v'kirvo Ava Rabba Kazu, a child is unable to contain that love for the parent, Ratz Elav Vinashko, runs to the father and begins to hug and kiss his father. Va'od lo niskara daito misrapek alav va'omar, and his mind is still not at rest, despite the fact that the child runs and grabs a hold of the father and kisses and hugs the father. Lo niskara daito, the mind of that child is still not at rest until misrapek alav va'omar, until he completely unburdens himself to his father and says, Avi Yakar, Avi Matok, Avi Chacha, my precious, my sweet, my wise father. Lo is godless Aviv Lizulasu. He's not coming to explain intellectually to another person about what he feels about his father. In order to try to explain what particular sweetness his father is similar to, or to explain to a friend exactly how it is that his father is so sweet. Hislavus nafsho shis orabo me'ava v'kirvas rucho shel aviv ad bilti naso. This fiery passion, which fills and awakens the soul with a great endearing love for the soul of the father, ad bilti naso, to the point that the child literally cannot carry that love. The child needs to unburden himself before his father and speak out the love that the child has for the father. He needs to like just cough it up. As many of us felt just a few weeks ago when we returned after a summer of not seeing each other. And that first time that we saw each other, either in the Rovar, we saw each other in the hallways of the yeshiva, or bumping into each other in one of the parks of Yerushalayim, and that feeling of just being unable to withhold the feeling of appreciation, of love, of deep respect and admiration that we have for one another, and you just feel like I can't hold it in, I need to spill it out. If I hold it in, I'm going to burst. These goodly words, these words that the child feels for the father, and the father comes home after a long day of work, or kal v'chomer after months of not seeing each other, is that expression that when a Jew sometimes is overcome with this feeling, I don't know what it is, he doesn't know what's going on. He's not coming now to speak words, intellectual treatise about how great his father is, but it's just an inescapable, unbearable love which threatens to swallow the child alive if he doesn't express it. V'zeh chiluk ben ha-shvachim, second paragraph now, v'zeh chiluk ben ha-shvachim sh'asur lahosef al elu sh'amr Moshe Rabbeinu v'an she'kines ha-gdola tiknu betfila. All of the songs that we add on Shabbos can be, should be, and must be of this second quality. Nishmas kolchai, anim zmiros, shir hayichud v'kedome. All of the songs that we sing on Shabbos, as we've explained, Shabbos, which is that elevation of the soul, Shabbos, which is that coming to grips with me, the Adam Kasher, me, the person who's freed from the torments of Mitzrayim, of my own personal limitations that I've imposed upon myself, the Megillus of Shabbos, like we learned last week. These Zmiros of Nishmas, and Anam Zmiros, and the Shir Yichud, and Askinu Sudasa, and Mizmor LeDavid, and Bnei Hechala Dechsifin, and all of these Zmiros that we sing on Shabbos, are not coming only to speak of Hashem's greatness. L'saper rak es gadlus Hashem aser lana l'hosif. When it comes to mere academic or intellectual speaking of God's greatness, this already has been forbidden by the Gemara in Brachos and Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Sha'amar lo siyamtenu l'kulei shvichei demarach. Have you finished all of the praises of your master? Ki hikir bo Shirak Shivche Hashemu Balasaper Vasar. Because when Rabbi Chanina was watching this yid, When Rabbi Chanina was watching this Chazan repeat the praises of Hashem, he saw and felt in this Jew that he wasn't pouring out his soul like water before Hashem. He wasn't overwhelmed with a sense of, I must express this before I die from the sweetness of my relationship with Hashem. Like the story that Rav Kook one time came late to shul, very uncharacteristic. They were waiting for him to start, and they sent somebody out to go find Rav Kook, and they found him walking around the garden outside of the shul back and forth. And Rav Kook was walking back and forth, just muttering to himself about how much he loved Hashem. And he said, I'm worried that if I start davening now, and I don't first kind of like speak out some of this, if I just do it through the level of Shira, meaning even above and beyond what we're talking about here, if I do it through the level of Tefillah and Shira, I'm going to die if I go and daven right now. So I need to spend some time walking around and being in this world and looking at the flowers and kind of expressing it orally, you know, via Dibor as opposed to via Shira, because otherwise I'm just going to expire. My soul needs so desperately to pour it out, and it's going to come out too quickly and I'm going to die. And so listen so beautifully, listen to this. So the Piezetzer says, Bereshis Anum Zmiros, in the very beginning of Anum Zmiros, do we not find? Anu Makdimin, we begin by saying, Anum Zmiros Keilecha Nafshi Sarog, why am I singing these songs? If Anum Zmiros is nothing more than an intellectual exercise to remind ourselves of how great Hashem is, if all it is what, like Albert was asking before, aren't we supposed to remind ourselves? It's not praises for us. It's not praises for Hashem. It's praises for us to remember how great Hashem is. But that, as I explained before, has a very strict set of rules. Yes, we have to remind ourselves of how great Hashem is, but there's only certain things we're allowed to say. We have to be careful. B'kamus u'be'echus, how much we praise Hashem. But when we come to Anam Zemiros, when we begin Anam Zemiros, we say, Anam Zemiros ki lecha nafshi sarog. I'm about to sing these praises not because I want to remind myself of something intellectual, not because I want to explain to my friends some intellectual, you know, philosophical idea about Hashem, but because ki lecha nafshi sarog, because my soul is screaming with yearning for you. Nafshi chamda homa libi. I'm passing out with deep love for you. That's why I'm saying these praises. Not because I'm trying to remind myself of something. Not because I'm trying to explain to someone else something. But because I can't help myself, like the child who sees his father, who cannot help but run to the father and embrace the father and say, Tati, I love you, I missed you so much today. To always draw an analogy from my daughter, that when I come home, she already recognizes when I'm halfway down the block because I have this whistle that I do. When I'm halfway down the block, I already start going, and I already hear her squealing from the mirpeset. She's sitting, she knows around when I come home, so she sits on the mirpeset, and she hears the from a distance, and I hear her squealing. And that moment of yichud that takes place, when my daughter starts running from the mirpeset, and I hear her screaming, Abba's coming, Abba's coming, and she goes running down the steps. And that moment when she sees me, and like she's standing up on the steps, and I'm down here, and she's ready to jump off the steps into my arms, and I'm already like half a flight down, and I have to run up to catch her before she slams into the stairs. That feeling of nafshi sarog ilecha, it's not an intellectual endeavor. My daughter is not trying to explain to her friends why she loves her Abba. She's not trying to explain to herself, to remind herself of how excited she is that her father's home. She literally can't hold herself back. And that experience is the experience of Zmiros on Shabbos. That's the experience of Zmiros on Pesach. Nafshi sarog elecha. Ki elecha nafshi sarog elecha nafshi chamda homa libi al dodecha. Al kein adaber b'cha nechbodos. That's why I'm singing these nechbodos. Lo lissa er lissayim es shivchei Hashem banu. I'm not trying to finish. I know there's of course there's no finishing. I cannot possibly. If I finish, I'm dead. When I finish, that's because I'm slumped over in my chair because there's nothing more left of me because I gave everything of my soul to Hashem. Like the Zidichaver, who died singing his own niggin. I'll teach you that niggin. You know that niggin? Oh, I have to teach it. He died singing his own niggin because he just gave it all. And he told his shamish to hold on to him the whole time, but Hashamash got carried away in the Nigin, and he kind of like threw up his arms at some point, and then when the Nigin was over, they all looked over, and the Zidut Shofar was dead in his chair. Mamash, he died singing his Nigin. We're not coming to finish the songs of Hashem, the praises of God. We're trying to fan the flame of this ember which is burning inside of us. I'm not saying a story here. This is not me telling a story of my father redeeming me from Egypt for my personal galus, like we explained last week. The neshama yisera of Shabbos, the neshama yisera is hovering over these words. I want to tell the story. Good, I'll tell the story in two or three words. But to sit at a table and to sing one nigun and another nigun and another nigun. The saddest thing is when a person is sitting at the Shabbos table and it's like, okay, you know, let's sing the song. You know, we have to sing the song to be yotze, the song of Shabbos. You know, the whole world is waiting to sing the song of Shabbos, so we better sing the song. Shabbos, the zmiras of Shabbos come from, I'm sitting in that moment. And maybe it's chaos at my Shabbos table because I have, you know, a lot of guests and I have a daughter who's a little cranky and it's not that moment when I come home. Not every moment is that moment of Yichud after, you know, you haven't seen each other for a long time. Sometimes it's a Shabbos evening and, you know, the nap didn't go as planned and, you know, the soup is not as hot as you would like it to be and everything is not going 100% and your kid is screaming, you know, and playing guitar at the Shabbos table. You know, they walk over to the corner and start playing the guitar and they start explaining, maybe not now. But then, at some point, between the fish and the soup, or I don't know, maybe a little before, a little after, either of those, you're just transfixed. And like the Rebbe said, Lo yadea ma etzlo, he doesn't know what just happened. But all of a sudden, he can't help but sing his grandfather-in-law's niggin for Kol Mekad Deshvi. He's overcome with a need to sing Menucha V'Simcha. It's not a story. He needs somehow to release from within. Sometimes it's even without words, like Yaakov was saying before. He has to go weiter. He has to just keep going. Someone who's praising Hashem. Or Gadol Shemer B'makom Ploni Rachok. A person who's praising Hashem with a story, he's telling a story of praises of God, like the Chazan in Rabbi Hanina's Shul, is like someone who's describing a great light that he saw. V'ha'omer Shira, but someone who's singing a song, Mishivche V'gadlos Hashem, who's singing a song, he's not just telling a story. It's like someone who actually brought the light from over there to over here. There's a famous parable that somebody once asked one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov. So a certain Rav, a great Lamdan, asked one of the students of Baal Shem Tov what exactly the Baal Shem Tov brought to the world. Because after all, even the students of the Vilna Gaon believed in the Chachmas HaKabbalah. People say that all the time. They say, what? The Zohar? I thought that's only for Chassidus. So, of course, the Vilna Gaon wrote a commentary on the Tzafra Ditznusa, one of the most difficult and mysterious parts of the Zohar. And somebody asked one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, what exactly was the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov? Because don't we have already Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Zohar? Don't we already have the Arizal in all of his Kol Kisvei Arizal? Don't we? What did the Baal Shem do? So the student of the Baal Shem explained, he said that there was once a king who heard that there was this exotic bird on a tropical island. And the king wanted to know if this bird is really as beautiful and as awesome as people claim. This bird was said to have the face of a human being and with the body of a bird, and it could speak, creative speech, not like a parrot. And so the king sent one of his trusted officers to go to this exotic island. And he came back many months later and verified for the king that he had seen the bird. It truly was as remarkable as they claimed it was, and started to explain in very intricate detail all of the aspects of this miraculous bird. A little while later, the king was not satisfied and he sent another shliach to this island. And this time he sent him, he wasn't just a stam shliach, but he was an expert artist who went and not only explained the likeness of the bird, but actually came back with a physical representation, a statue, that very much almost identical to the detail, almost identically mirrored the awesome and miraculous nature of this bird. Until finally the king sent a third who went to the island and somehow convinced the locals of the island to allow him to bring the bird back to the king. And the student of the Baal Shem Tov explained that whereas Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us some sort of description of the bird, how the Arizal maybe painted us a picture, but the Baal Shem Tov brought the bird to us. That strange image of the bird, which of course is, if taken in the wrong way, is an idolatrous image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is kiviyachol the idea of the Chachmas HaTorah, the Pnimiyas HaTorah, which comes and brings us this image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not a physical image, but some sort of taste of what it means to be Mizdabek to Hashem. And whereas the one who's being Mesaper Shivchei Hashem V'Gadluso Dome L'mish Mesaper Sheish Or Gadol, he's like someone who's saying, describing this far-off light. The one who sings the Shira, if you're Zocha to sit in front of that person or be that person, and see the person amidst that Shira, you're Zocha to see the light itself. You're not hearing a description of it, but you're Zocha to see it. Re'iya Yiseir Shal Bechinas Bnei HaNavim Shabo Hisa'ur Rabo. You see the awakening of the spirit of the Nevi'im within this person. B'shiraso Baruchu Megalahu K'tzas Mimena. In his song, and in his spirit, he reveals a little bit of that Ruach HaNavua. And therefore, on the Pasuk in Shmuel, that says, V'hinei chevel nevi'im l'kraso, v'titzlach alav Ruach Elokim, v'yisnabe besocham mitargim atargum, on that Pasuk, which describes the experience of standing there in the chevel HaNavi'im, that line of the nevi'im, v'titzlach alav Ruach Elokim, and the Spirit of God was matzliach over him. And he began to sing. So the Targum sings, Visharas Alohi Ruach Nevuah Min Kadam Hashem Vishavach Beinehem. The Spirit of Hashem began to rest on this person and he began to be Meshabeach between them. Ruach Bnei Anavim His Orerbo V'imo Histakel V'ra Nitzatz Min Ahadar Noah V'nafsho So Eres. His soul became stormy and didn't let up. Min Hare'iyah Ad Bilti Naso Midabra Motzi Diburim Elu V'shvachim. Not that this singing that we do on Shabbos, which we're going to describe in detail, Baruch Hashem, we have another 30 weeks together, so we'll get there. But all of this preparation is to understand what is the singing of Shabbos, what is singing in general, what is the act of singing Shiras V'Tish Baruchos Hashem. It's not Sipur Shivchei D'Marcha. It's not trying to tell a story. It's not trying to intellectually explain what we think about Hashem. We leave, and that's also important. We leave that for the classroom. When a person comes to the realm of nigun, when he comes to the realm of song, it's already an experiential. It's bringing the light. It's bringing that exotic bird from a different place.